Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom. Plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It is always a privilege and an honor to come before God's people. And tonight is no difference. I'm elated to be back on tonight because last week we didn't have our Bible study, but I'm so glad to be here on tonight. I'm going to take in our lesson tonight is the third lesson we have in the book of Revelation, and I pray that it goes well. We're going to be reviewing the stuff that's in the 4th to the 22nd chapter. I'm going to play a little song because I wasn't because I have so much writing, so much stuff to say on tonight that I didn't want to use the time. But it just seemed like a song would be appropriate. So what I'm going to do is play this song. We're going to come back and go into to God's throne of grace. And after that, we'll go into the lesson. So the title of this song is Finished. Run till you finish. We can't give up, y'all. Even though it's trials and tribulation on every side and some things you're doing and you're trying to do it right and it just seems like, you know, it's not coming together like you want, but you just got to run till it's finished.
I'm going to run it.
Praise be to God. That was Run Till I'm Finished. All glory and honor is due God. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Revelation, the 4th to the 22nd verse. And the title of the lesson is God Revealing the Last Days Prophecy to His People. God revealing the last days prophecy to His people. At this time, if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone, and we'll go to the throne of grace, which is always in order, because Jesus tells us to pray in season and out of season. Not for some things, but all things. Make your request known unto God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button. If not, I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll go into the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more, and again, you have allowed us to come together to explore your word. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for each and every opportunity that you allow us to come together to fellowship with one another through the word of God. Lord, I don't believe that is an accident, and I believe your will going to be done. Holy Spirit, I ask that you give us illumination and revelation as we go through the book of Revelation with all the signs, symbols, and wonders. Lord, I thank you because you say that you will never allow your people in the dark. And here the book of Revelation is giving us the things that will come thereafter. Hallelujah. The things that will come at the end. Lord, I thank you for that information, and I love you because you are trying to get your people to understand what they must do to be saved. Because it is your will that all sorts of men be saved. And you know, not trying to leave anyone out. And you took the last book in the of the written word, the Bible, the 66th book. And here you're giving us revelation of the things that's going to take place. For that I say thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, equip me. Give me provisions to do justice with your word on tonight for your people. Allow us to understand what the Spirit is saying to the churches, to us, the people of God. Help us, dear God, as we maneuver through these chapters, dear God, to let us have an experience so that we can look at the book of Revelation with new eyes. Heavenly Father, I pray that your people will be edified, that Satan will be horrified, and God, you will be glorified. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, and thank God. And as we decide to go in this part of Revelation, you know, I want to thank each and everyone for coming back on tonight, and I want to let you know that I missed you on last week. And I just want to let you know that I've been tarrying with the word for since I stopped the last lesson before I didn't do the lesson last week, if that makes sense. Because Revelation has so much information. And we did the first, the second, and the third chapter. And then I was trying to figure out how to break down the 4th to the 22nd chapter and maybe do that in two parts. But I was glad to do it all together because you can understand it right then, because many times we don't remember to connect it if you get part here and part there. So I hope tonight will be a wonderful experience for all of us in the Word of God. So we're going to do Revelation 4 through 22. The title of the lesson is Things That Would Happen Thereafter. Things That Would Happen Thereafter. And I want you to know the book of Revelation is God revealing the last days prophecy to his people. God don't want us in the dark. Nobody going to have the excuse to say, I didn't know. Or God, why you didn't tell me that? Or why you didn't tell me this? God has given us enough information to know his will, to do his will, to accept his son through the gospels, and to continue to be faithful, and then share the word of God with someone else, which is our greatest command. You see, to understand the book of Revelation, you have to realize that the book is in three sections. You see, chapter 1 explained things that has happened before. You know, when it was in chapter 1, it talks about Jesus and God and what was they were doing, and it made reference to before the foundation of the word. And, you know, it says things that has happened. And that's the first section. The second section is found in chapters 2 and 3, when Jesus is explaining what is happening now, right now, today. From the time it started till today, it's still happening. You see, the church age, which began at Pentecost, will not end until Jesus returns for his church, the rapture. He gives to John 7 letters to 7 churches of Asia Minor, describing the condition of the churches. You see, the number 7 is used throughout the book to emphasize its completeness. You know, 7 is a sign of completion and fullness. So 7 is used all the time because God is saying through the book of Revelation, when each period ends, it is done, it is finished, it is full, it was good. Hallelujah. You see, he gave these letters to Jesus, because Revelation is the revelation of Jesus by Jesus. God gave revelation to Jesus, who turns around and give it to his angel, who turns around and give it to John. And then John writes what God is telling us, or what he was saying to the churches. Each letter they had, you know, each letter Jesus talked about who he was, his dignity, and his purpose. You know, he didn't want us to get twisted where this letter came from. You see, second, he commended them for what they were doing right and condemned them for what they were doing wrong. He then gave instructions for repentance. And then he came back with the promise of eternal life and blessing. You know, we could all identify ourselves in these letters because, you know, it was written to the church, but the church is the people. Hallelujah. And we are the church. And you should be able to really identify yourself in one of them letters. So if you need to go back and review, you know, the Church of Philadelphia didn't have a problem, and that could be you. Some was a cold church. Some was a compromising church. Some had changed from their first love. It was all kind of conditions. But that's the state of the church house and the people of God, the church, even today. When we look at the 4th to the 22nd chapter, which is the third section, two sections. First, God identifying who he is, his power. Second, the letter to the churches. Third part, 4 through 22nd verse, talks about the things that would happen thereafter. You see, Jesus is telling us here the things that will be involved in a tribulation, and not only the tribulation, but there will be a great tribulation. And it describes it as birth pains experienced by a woman. You will have false messiahs saying, I am the Messiah. In addition, the earth will experience wars and rumors of wars. You have nations rising up against nations. kingdoms against kingdom. The earth will experience famine, desolence, earthquakes in many different places. You know, we read this and we could say, wow, that sounds like some of the stuff I heard on, that happened on CNN. You know, they say we're living in the last days, but God has given signs. And he says what's going to happen. So if you know the book of Revelation, you see the signs, do the math. Just do the math. You see, so there's a 7-year period. And to really understand this, you have to go to the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter. Daniel prophesies these things. And I'm going to tell you, like I said before, nothing in the book of Revelation or any book in the Bible is anything new. It happened before. Believe me, there's nothing new under the sun. Daniel made these prophecies in the book of Daniel. And before Jesus come back, the prophecy, you know, some, you know, the prophecies have to be fulfilled when he, before he come back for the second coming, because these tribulations is going to happen before the second coming. So Daniel talks about the 70 weeks, and if you divide 70 weeks, you'll realize that it's 7 years. And what happened, Daniel prophesied these things. So plenty of people have said the 7 weeks of Daniel, or you might, some people just say the 7-year period of time immediately before the, you know, second coming of Christ. So you got to know it was prophesied in the Old Testament what the end time would be like. Not only in the Old Testament, you know, we was in the book of Thessalonians not so long ago, and the people had a problem about what would happen to their loved ones. And, you know, Paul took time and explained that the dead in Christ going to rise and those who are living going to be taken up in the air. And, you know, he talked about the rapture. Come on, y'all. It's nothing new. And it's amazing how people say Revelation is hard and you can't understand it and all of that. Just open up your mind. Open up your heart and your ears, so that you could, as the scripture says, hear what the Spirit is saying to the people of God. So, if I look at Revelation 4, 1 and 2, and that's how I decided to get my title, they say, after this, the scripture reads, for those who have your Bible, and I hope you have an ink pen and a paper, Revelation 4, the first and the second verse said, after this I look, and behold, a door open in heaven. And the first voice that I heard was as of a trumpet talking with me, which says, what did he say it as a trumpet? He was just saying it was so loud. You know, and when they use these symbols, just, you know, he said, talking to me as a trumpet. And then he said, it said, come here, and I will show these things which must be thereafter. See, that's why I say it. When the fourth chapter of Revelation started, it's talking, it's going to talk about the things that will happen thereafter. After what? The second and the third was the church age. And the first was talking about Jesus and the relationship and in the Trinity and the power and the glory. So he's saying after the church age, these are the things that will happen thereafter. And then he said, I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on his throne. He's talking about God and all of his glory. So then if you see, you know, I was just brought that one out because I'm not going to, you know, be able to do as we do, of course, chapter after chapter after chapter in each verse, because we got 22 chapters, and some of them are lengthy. But you see, in chapter 4, John was taken in heaven and shown the throne of God with all his power in his hand. This chapter gives us a picture of who was in heaven, what heaven looked like, and what they were doing. So if you ever read that, and if you haven't, just go back with the information that you get tonight and then start reading the book of Revelation, and it may come together for you. And then you see, if you look at the fifth chapter, they say, and I saw the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written therein, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Okay, this is where the seven seals come in, y'all. He say, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seal thereof? And no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. This is John saying, the man on the throne had the book, but it had to be opened. No one was worthy, John. And then it says, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And then what happened? In the fifth verse, in the fifth chapter, for those who follow him, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not, because the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. Now, when we follow this, we're going to just follow it and walk it through. You see, the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation shows a scroll being presented to Christ in heaven. The scroll had seven seals, indicating things that will occur before and during Christ's second coming. Now, when I'm talking about the second coming, you know the first coming is the rapture. The second coming is when Jesus is going to come back to reign on earth to get the believers that began to believe after the rapture and during these times of tribulation. You see, we need to remember that the purpose of the book of Revelation and its seals is to show what would happen in the future. Watch this. And what's God's plan for salvation and how it will be fulfilled. Then I went down to verse 6 and 7. And it says, and I say, because the first four seals, we're talking about the seven seals now, and their meaning for earth inhabitants were presented symbolically, methodologically. So you have to just know everything in the book is not literal. And some of the symbols is used to give you an idea. You know, he's like painting you a beautiful picture in your mind with your imagination. You know, without our imagination, how can we see the pearly gates in heaven? And how can we see, you know, Jesus coming in the air? That's with your imagination. And as you read the book of Revelation, use your imagination. Yes, there's symbols and all of those kind of things, but you can work through it. And the Holy Ghost is right there with you if you invited him in as you begin to read. You see, when we look at the sixth chapter and the seventh chapter, it's talking about the seven seals. And remember, seven is always a sign of completion and fullness. Because the first four of the seals and their meaning for earth inhabitants, and they are dealt with and given to you to paint a picture symbolically, the messenger gave the description of four horses. They're commonly known as the four horsemen of the apocalypse, meaning disclosure or revelation. So the phrase four horsemen of the apocalypse mean the four horsemen of the book of Revelation. You know, many times on movies and scenes and books, you see the four horses. Well, that's what was in the seven seals. The first four seals was the seven horses. You see, the first seal was a white horse, and the rider of that horse is going to be the Antichrist. Plenty of people sometimes get it confused because they say Jesus is going to ride upon a white horse. But this white horse that's coming, because it's not time for Jesus to come. It's not his second coming. So we can believe that this rider was the Antichrist. This seal represents religious deception. And if y'all go to Matthew's 24, you'll see a lot of this was talked about in Matthew's when Jesus was teaching about what was to come. It's not a secret. It's not the first time it's being said. You see, the second seal was a red horse, one who sat on it to take peace from the earth. See, he's telling us what's going to come. He had seven seals. Nobody could open them. Jesus opened them, and each seal as it was opening, one was the white horse, the Antichrist. The second was one that somebody who came to earth to take the peace, and he would take the peace away from earth, and that people should kill one another. Oh, hallelujah! Look at what's happening in our culture. You know, that's the red horse, and he was given a great sword to do the things he would do. That's in Revelation 6. You see, the third seal was a black horse, and it had a scale. This is a graphic depiction of Christ teaching that there will be famines. If you read that scripture, it says penny for a barley wheat, buying oats and things like that. He's saying that that they're going to be a lot of famine going on, and it's going to be like with the scale, injustice prior to his return. You could also see that in Matthew's 24. Then the fourth seal was a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him, and power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger because of the famine, with death coming by the pale horse, religious deception, wars, pestilence have already been occurring, it seems like to me. I don't know if you could agree. But you see, listed as signs of Christ's second coming and the beginning of sorrow. Matthew's 24 again talks about that, so you could use that for reference. These frightening events will intensify at the end of time. You see, we're talking about the seven seals. The fifth seal represented Satan's anger, which will be directed against mankind and especially against God's people. The sixth seal is going to be cosmic disturbance. You know, that's when it's going to be earthquakes and the sun become black as a sackcloth of hair, and the moon become like blood, and the stars of heaven fall to earth, and the fig tree drop its late figs when it is shaken by the mighty wind. Then the sky recedes as the scroll when it's rolled back, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. That's the things going to be happening. That's why they say wait for the apocalypse. But as I told you before, the good news is in Jesus' first coming, the Christians, those who accepted and believe in Christ, we're going to be taken up. We will not be here. That's enough that everybody should be shouting, thanking God for his glory and his grace and his mercy towards us. Come on, y'all. This is what's going to be happening, but we will not be here. Praise the Lord. And if you notice, since I went to the fourth chapter and going forward in the book, they're not talking about the church anymore. So you can assume that the church has been taken up and raptured and gone with God, with Jesus. And that's a blessing. That's why you shouldn't fear the book of Revelation and all of his tribulations and great tribulations. You see, now watch this. The seventh seal, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about an hour and a half. And after that, I saw the seven angels which stood before God to give them. Okay, when they opened the seventh seal, heaven got silent. And John is saying, I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to him was given seven trumpets. Now, we done had the seven seals. Jesus is giving the information to John. John is writing it down, and he's giving it to us. So what first happened of the things that's going to happen thereafter, after the church age, they're going to have the seven seals. This was the seven seals, and they were open. And the seventh seal, when the angel gave to it, it was a trumpet, and it had seven trumpets representing a series of punishment prepared to sound. And it was seven trumpets because this is going to really, you know, be intensified like a trumpet. They say, and it's going to have a series of punishment attached to it. So we already saw what the seven seals say it is going to happen. Now the seventh seal the angel gave had seven trumpets, and they, you know, talking about punishment prepared to sound. We're in Revelation 8 now. You see, by the time of the fifth trumpet of the trumpets, the punishment will be so severe that men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. Revelation 9, during the sixth trumpet, a third of mankind will be killed. And then the seventh trumpet. The trumpet includes hail and fire that destroy much of the planet in the world. The death of much of the world, sea life, the darkness of the sun and the moon, a plague of demonic locusts that torment the unsaved. And then they're going to have a demonic army that kills one-third of humanity. Y'all got to realize this is the last days that God is talking about. God had created the earth in Genesis, and he's been with man ever since, and he gave his son, and he has done all of these. This is the last time, and you know how the story ends. So everything, as we know, got to be taken away, and this is God's master plan how it's going to be done. So let's look at that. You know, you might say, oh. But the Christians who accept Christ, they're not going to be there. And God has a master plan how everything is going to be dissolved. They're going to have billions and billions of people. They got to go. So God is not orchestrating this particular one in a sense, because Satan is having havoc on the world but he's allowing it because it's a part of the plan for him to get to his plan of salvation. You see, in the seven trumpets, there are three woes. You know how you always hear the people say, woe is me and woe, and you know, when they talk about things in the tribulation and in the times like that, they say woe. You see, woe means grief, anguish, affliction. The three woes of Revelation are the final judgment of God pronounced on the evil inhabitants of the earth in order to spur them to repentance. Now look at this. All of this is happening. God still have a purpose, a will, and a plan. He's using these things in hope that it will make the people turn and acknowledge who he is and accept his son for his as their savior and be saved. So they say he used three woes to help to get them to turn and repent. You see, the three woes are indeed a time of great anguish and affliction for those who have pledged their allegiance to the Antichrist during the end times. The number seven, as I said, is significant in Revelation. And the three woes will come towards the end of the seven-year tribulation period, right before the second coming of Christ. God's judgment during the tribulations are pictures as seven seals. We did that. They open one at a time. The seventh seal reveals seven trumpets, and we just did that. You see, the fifth and the sixth and the seventh trumpets are called the woes. We did the seven seals. We did the seven trumpets. The tribulation time is 7 years, but they divide it into two parts. The first part of the tribulation, and God used it, and Jesus explained it as a woman having labor pains. In her first part of her labor, a woman pains is lighter, but as it gets closer to the delivery, the pain gets more and more intense. So the 7 year tribulation can be broke down into two parts. The first 3.5 years, you know, they call that the tribulation. The second 3.5 years is what the Bible called the Great Tribulation, where it's going to be pumped up. The volume's going to be pumped up. You see, in the scrolls, they talked about the Antichrist coming and how they fool the people and the false teachers and the false prophets and you know, Satan is having his havoc, you know, on the world. And Satan, everything that God does, you got to remember that Satan counterfeited. You see, so God sent his son. Satan want to have his son, which God incarnated into Jesus, and Satan want to incarnate into the Antichrist, which would give him a body. Hallelujah, y'all. You see what I'm saying? So that's what was going on. Now, we did that. Now, after the seven trumpets and then the three woes, the next thing is the seven bowls or vials judgments are the final judgment of the tribulation period. So we could call that Great Tribulation, or you could just say tribulation because it's all bad. But they will be the most severe judgment the world has ever seen. The Bible says it's over and over. This is going to be something. You see, the seven bowls are described in Revelation 16:1-21. They are specifically called the seven bowls of God's wrath. Now, this is when God steps in. This is God's wrath. You see, at this time, and before this time, I should say, under the Antichrist, when he was having his havoc, having his way, the people was doing what they wanted, you know, like today, the wickedness of man had reached its peak, and it met God's, it met with God's wrath against sin. You know, some people say, well, how long he's going to let us, you know, keep doing what we do? You know, God got a stopping point. By this time, and it's the future, y'all, the angel gave it to John. John is writing. God is telling what's going to happen, right? So this, the God has reached his point with sin. You see, so the seven bowl judgment are called forth by the seven trumpets. You see the order? Seven seals. The seventh seal brings in seven trumpets. The seven trumpets bring in the seven bowls of the vow judgment. You see, in a bowl judgment, now remember, this is God, you know, all the other things, you know, Satan was going to deceive the people. He was going to have cause famine. He was going to be unjust. He's not going to have everything right. He's going to get the people to take the mark of the beast. He's going to be the one that if you don't have the mark of the beast, you have to die. And the people who decided to follow Christ, because they began to understand during these times that Jesus was real, they would either have to take the mark of the beast or die. And when they died for the name of Jesus. They became martyrs. Hallelujah. But they had to go through the tribulation where we just didn't. So, the first bowl, the first angel. See, when these things, the angel pulls out the first bowl, bowl on the land, and ugly festing sores break out on the people who had the mark of the beast on them and worship its image. Revelation 16. The second bowl is poured out of the sea, turning the water into blood like that of a dead person, and every living thing in the sea died. Revelation 16. The third of the sea life had already perished with the sounding of the second trumpet. You remember when Satan is doing his thing and they kill one third of the people and they destroyed the things in the water? You see, a third of the sea had already died when the second trumpet had came out, and now the rest of the sea life is gone. And remember, God is fixing the two to end the world, and everything have to go anyway. So think about it and see, you know, the wrath of God and what he's doing, and it's all a part of his master plan. You see, the oceans are dead. The third bowl of God's wrath is poured out. The rivers and freshwater springs also turn into blood. Don't this remind you of the plagues that God put on King Pharaoh in Egypt, when he said, let my people go? And you see, the fourth bowl, an angel poured out his bowl on the sun. Now, this is God orchestrating his wrath, you know, because he done reached his point. The sun was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were sheared by immense heat. Rather than repent of their sins, the wicked inhabitants of the earth cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues. But they refused to repent and glorify him. Can you believe it? You see, the fifth bowl of the seven bowls caused the kingdom of the beast to be plunged into darkness. Because you see, they had two rulers then. It was Satan and then it was the beast. But you see, the fifth bowl You know, it took away the kingdom of the beast because it plunged it into darkness. The pain and suffering of the wicked intensified, so the people snarled their tongue in agony. Still, they followed the Antichrist, refused to repent of what they have done. And now we at the sixth bowl. The sixth bowl pours out, the sixth angel pours out his bowl of judgment. And that's the Euphrates River. You know, that was a river that separated kingdoms and things like that. But you see, that river is dried up. Watch this. In the preparation for the kings of the east, making their own destruction. You see, God froze up the east, froze up the river, which allowed people who were separated to be able to come together more quickly. You see, John then sees three unclean spirits that look like frogs coming from the mouth of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. These demons perform miracles and seize the kings of the earth and gather them to the final battle on the day of the Lord. You see, under demonic influence, the kings gather together to the place that in that Hebrew calls Armageddon. So that's when the Armageddon's going to be. You see, they didn't like each other, and they fought against each other over and over and over again. But you see, they had a common cause to destroy God and his people. You know, no matter from the beginning, God has always had Satan under control. Even though Satan right now is called the prince of the earth, God still have it in control. And Satan cannot do anything that God doesn't allow him. Remember that. So what he did, God even allowed to the great river to dry up, and then they was able to come together. And they came together to the place, and that's when the Battle of Armageddon. You see, all of them got together with one cause to fight against God. And then you see the seventh bowl is emptied into the atmosphere. A loud voice in heaven says, "It is done." It is done. You know, that's a seven bowl. It is done. You see, the seventh bowl results in flashing and lightning and earthquakes so severe that no earthquake like it has ever occurred since mankind has been on the earth. So tremendous was the quake that Jerusalem is split into three parts, and all the cities throughout the world collapse. Islands are flooded. Mountains disappear. They're going to have giant hailstorms, each weighing about 100 pounds, and they begin to fall on people. God is not to be played with. You see, those under the judgment curse God on account of the plague of the hills, because the plague was so terrible. One of the angels of the seven bowls of judgment then shows John the fate of Babylonian the Great. That's where the power is going to be. Now watch this. One of the angels showed John the fate of Babylon the Great. As God avenges the blood of prophets and of God's holy people and of all who have been slaughtered on earth. The world moaned because God destroyed Babylonia the Great. They began, you know, the ones who was following the hand of Christ, they was probably kind of, you know, a little bit all right because, you know, they would be able to eat. They had the mark of the beast. You know, they was going through and around like they wanted. But you see, in the seven bowls is God's judgment on those people who have accepted the mark of the beast. And now God destroyed Babylon and the Great. And the people were so angry. But he said the people got the people in once the Babylon and the Great was destroyed, the inhabitants of heaven rejoice. You see, if we go to 19, Jesus Christ then returned in glory to defeat the armies of the Antichrist at the Armageddon. That's what's going to happen. And then Jesus set up his kingdom on earth. This is the time when Satan will be seized and bound for 1,000 years. So he will no longer deceive the nations until the 1,000 years is ended. See, Jesus is going to come back because, you see, the Antichrist and Satan and the beast, they're going to get their army together. They're going to have the kings and they say they're going to have so many coming to fight against God that they would you couldn't even number them like sand. So Jesus comes, hey, and he defeat them. Lock Satan up for 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years, he'll be free for a short time. And then in that 1,000 year, which is the millennium, which only means 1,000, in that 1,000 year period, the millennium, Jesus will reign with his saints for 1,000 years and fully restore Israel to her land. You see, Revelation 20:7 says, when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from prison. I'm just reading the scripture if y'all read Revelation 20. It's Revelation 20:7. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from prison and go out to deceive the nations again. His army in number, like I said, will be like the sea, the sand on the sea. You see, the beast and Satan gonna join forces, and they gonna all have their forces with all them people, and look what God's gonna do. Cause we know how the story ends, but it's gonna be hardly a battle. The beast and his army is thrown in the fiery lake, and Satan and his army is devoured by fire from heaven. At the end of the 1,000 years, a final judgment of the nation and all remaining mankind will occur, which is then followed by eternal state, either spent with God or separated from him. We have to realize that God is giving people, you know, every opportunity to be saved. And during that time of tribulation, they're going to have a lot that's going to realize that who God really is. And if they don't take the mark of beast, the 666 on their head, on their hand, they kill them. So these are the people that would be martyred. When you read through the book of Revelation, you see that the people that was martyred for the word of God and standing up for God has a special place with God. and God's going to let them reign with him. I hope that you got a little understanding of the book of Revelation, you know, where you could know that the things talking about is the things that's going to happen, and God gave it to Jesus, and Jesus gave it to John. Jesus gave it to the angel, and the angel gave it to John, and there were seven seals, and then there were seven trumpets, and then there were seven bowls. The seven bowls was the wrath of God. The seven seals is talking about the havoc Satan and the beast and all that's going to do, and when the Antichrist is going to come. It's too much for me to go into so many details, so I try to give a glimpse of it that way. And if you decide to go back and read it for yourself, you could put yourself in the place. But as I close tonight, I took the last chapter, you know, because in the 20th chapter, they, you know, it talks about a new heaven and a new earth. And you see what it says, that all things will pass away, and behold, all things will be made new. I think it's in the second, in the book of Peter, when Peter talking about everything is going to pass up because it's going to be burnt with a fervent heat, and all things going to pass away because God is going to clear his world for his new heaven and his new earth, the new Jerusalem. Come on, y'all. So you see all of these things that's really bad, you know, they was going to be burnt up anyway if they didn't accept Christ. But God is clearing his world that he created for his people. He gave the other non-believers chance after chance after chance after chance. Last week we saw in one of the churches where Jezebel was, where the people was living in her. And Jesus said, I gave her time to repent, and she refused. I made mention of that last week, and I just didn't forget it. And I see the mercy and the grace of God, you know, still holding on to these people that has, you know, turned away from him. And what Jesus said, you know, all things is going to pass away, and behold, all things is new. And at that time, he's going to restore Eden. Because you got to remember, when God made paradise, he made it for his people. And he ain't forgot. And that was his plan. And it's going to come to pass. And you see, Jesus is speaking in the Old Testament. And in the last chapter in the Old Testament, I'll call this Jesus' last writing, invitation, and warning. You see, Revelation 22:12-16 says, and behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. I will give to every man according to his work shall be. 13. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates unto the city. Oh, happy day. 15. He said, for without are dogs and scofflers and whoremongers and murderers and idolatries and whosoever loves it and makes a lie. He said, that's not the ones going to get in the gate. That's the ones took the Antichrist and didn't believe my son was who he was. And you got to realize this. This is when Jerusalem and the Jews' eyes is going to be open. They're going to see Jesus for who he really is. And that's how the Jews will be saved. This was still God's promised people. But not only Jews at that time, but Jews and Gentiles. Because God is going to take the 24 elders. That's 12 apostles. and 12 members from each tribe of the tribe of Israel. God's going to have these people during this time preaching the word of God so that the people may be saved. God ain't giving up on us. We gave up on, you know, God doesn't give up on his people. His people give up on God. And then he said, not the dogs and those who lie. And then 16 says, verse 16 and 22, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root, the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And then Revelation 22 and 20 says, he who testify about these things, talking about Jesus, look what he said. Revelation 22 and 20. He said, yes, I am coming back. It's in red writing. Yes, I am coming back. And then he said, amen, meaning it is done. And the next scripture, the next part of the scripture says, come, Lord Jesus. And before that, I put before that is our response should be, come, Lord Jesus. That's our lesson tonight. And I pray that each and every one of you got a little more than you had before, or that it perked your interest to want to go back and read. But at this time, I will answer any questions, listen to any comments. If you know something about the book of Revelation, because I couldn't touch on it all, you could expound on it at this time. You could give it to us, you know, and you know, so we could add it to what we know. If there's anyone who would like to give encouragement or sing a song or pray, ask any questions, you could do it now. Well, we started in January. We started with the book of Genesis. Tonight, we have done and finished Revelation, which we did it in three parts. You know, I don't know about you, but I really thank God for allowing us to be able to do that. And I pray that our journey through the Bible, one book a week, have enlightened you, have opened up your understanding, has made the book, I like to say when you go through the book, the Bible, and you touch each book, it makes it smaller. I hope you have gain study tools. I just pray that you grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, that's my prayer for each and every one of us, not just you guys, but me as well. And I thank God for each one of you that has taken the journey as we explored the Word of God together. Started in Genesis and not giving up and going all the way to Revelation. But that I say thank you. If anybody have any questions, you could press the one button at this time. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll be back next week. Is it any subject anybody would like to expound on? If you press the one button, we could, you know, put it in our lesson. If anyone have an idea of a way they would like to go forward with the Bible study and any subjects or a certain way to look at it or tackle it, you could press the one button. If
Oh, whatever you would like to say or do, you can do at this time. I thank God that it's 9:35. I just didn't know that I could do it in that time. And I pray that I touched on enough to give you some understanding and clarity of what God is saying to the churches. And that scripture told us, he who have an ear, let us hear what the Spirit is saying. Allow the Holy Ghost to illuminate and revelate the things that you heard. When you began to ponder on this, that I hope you do tonight, ask the Holy Ghost to be with you. You know, and it may be questions you may have. Ask the Holy Ghost. You know, because if you read, he can make it clear. He can bring to your memory things that you put in. If you never put it in, he can't pull it out. But I pray that God be with each and every one of you till we meet again. And I'm just going to do a benediction on tonight. I just ask that each and every one of us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember, if you take care of God's business, he'll take care of yours. And I just pray that each and every one of you just receive the things of God that you're looking for, that God keep you in position, that he open doors for you that no man could shut, and shut the doors that no man can open. The best is yet to come. Allow God's grace and mercy to be your friend. And just hold on to the bitter end. That's our lesson for tonight. And God be with you until we meet again. All of this we ask in Jesus' name. See, Jesus was the only one who could open the scroll. See, Jesus got power. God has all power in his hand. And Jesus is your Savior. And he's looking out for you, guys. He's worthy to be praised. When God opened the lesson and we went in the fourth chapter, he brought John to heaven to show him what they was doing. They was praising him and giving him honor all day long. He let him have a glimpse of what go on in heaven, what they doing, and who was there, and the elders was there, and 144, which was 12,000 from each tribe of the tribe of Judah. They got a lot of information, you guys, but you're going to have to get some of it for yourself. And I couldn't just do it all tonight, and it's just, I'm just full with it, and it just keep coming out. But I know our time is short, and really it's past the time, so I know I have to end. But I want y'all to see the mercy of God. He don't leave you in the dark. He's telling you, you already accepted me. But then you see, if the things that happen in the tribulation, in the great tribulation, won't affect you to some degree, what about your loved ones? Would you want them to have to go through that? So are you trying to get them saved? And no, we can't save nobody. But it's our job to offer the gospel to them. You know, my heart bleed for those who are going to have to go through that because of their own, you know, reason for not accepting, you know, but we all have something to do. We got to use our resources, our times, and our talent for the things of God. And that's it for tonight, because I don't want to keep going because of the time. But I want to tell each and every one of you, good night, God loves you, and so do I. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll be back on next week. Give all honor and praise unto God. And you might as well start praising him and giving him honor here on earth, because that's what you're going to be doing in eternity. Good night. God bless. Amen.